Hello there, my name is Ahin Chakraborty. I'm the pastor here at Agape Community Church. I wanted to thank you for choosing to listen to this recorded copy of today's message. You know, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 10 verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. May your faith be strengthened as you listen to this recorded message. So, I would like to tell you a story. How many of you like stories? Come on, you all like stories. Don't tell me that. Half of you like stories and half of you don't. I don't want you to fall asleep on this message, lady. So, I'd like to tell you a story. This story does not begin with a once upon a time in a land far, far away. It starts with two people, God brought them together, they loved each other, and they felt called to marry each other, and they got married. And when they got married, before they got married, they did talk about, you know, if they're going to have kids or not, like all the couples that they talk about, most of the couples, I suppose. All the things that you talk about, your finances, how are you going to deal with finances, how are you going to deal with family, especially your mom and dad from both sides, how much influence they're going to have on your marriage, and if you're going to have kids. So this couple, they did talk about having kids, and they wanted kids. They wanted to wait a few years, you know, maybe 2-3 years, and then have kids. A couple of years went by, they started trying, nothing happened. They kept on trying, nothing happened. And then they started to wonder, you know, started to wonder about each other. And, you know, really, is this, can we have kids? The wife had gone through some issues and in the past, the husband started questioning himself. The wife started questioning herself. Is this, you know, is my body, is there a problem? Wondering, okay, are we going to have kids? There was some despair. There was some a lot of questions, like, where do we go from here? If you're not going to have kids, what can we do? You know, what else is there to do? So the first thing that they thought, okay, well, let's go to a doctor and find out. Let's find out if we can have kids or not. During the course of their marriage, they got married in 2004, August 27th. During the course of this time, their friends and family had given them a lot of baby stuff, hand-me-down stuff. You know, sister got pregnant, has two kids, gave some of the stuff. Another cousin got pregnant, has kids grew up, gave stuff. So their attic is filled with this baby stuff, and they don't know really, okay, are these going to be ever used? Should we give it away? Or they're planning a yard sale this year, October 11th. The husband was like, yeah, let's sell some of the stuff. But then they sat down and they said, you know, just wait, you know, wait upon the Lord and see. And we have this doctor's appointment. So they went to a doctor's appointment on October 10th. Prior to this, the wife had gone and the OBGYN had said, I really don't know. You might have to go through some fertility treatment and see, you know. So the October 10th appointment was to find out if they really need to go through fertility treatment or is there cancer in the ovary or there is some problem. The wife was wondering and worried, and the husband was wondering and worried. So they go to the doctor's appointment on October 10th. The husband sits down, you know, nervously flipping through pages, found a fishing book, really got into it, but at the back of his mind, he's like, okay, I don't know what's going to happen. Wife goes in, sits down with the doctor, sits down in doctor's office. Doctor comes in. Normally, the doctor is very conversant, talks a lot, sits down, keeps on looking at the wife for a couple of minutes. Just keeps looking at the wife. And after a couple of minutes of silence, says, did you know you are 5 weeks pregnant? Did you know you are 5 weeks pregnant? Without going into much details, it was not possible. The wife had some physiological issues that tells you she is unable to conceive at this time. The wife and the husband is me and Rochelle in this story. We just completed our 16 weeks of pregnancy. The baby is fine, growing in, not right now leaps and bounds, but growing actually pretty fast. I guess I was told that the last 3 months, the last trimester is when it really, it's like yeast hitting the flower and bread, I mean, bad analogy, just forget about it. But baby is fine. Rochelle is fine. I'm fine too. Of course, I'm not pregnant, so I'm definitely fine. But why do I share this story with you this morning? Because earlier in this year, the question that kept on pounding on us was, where do we go from here? We had our doubts, our concerns, our worries. And we kept on, we did not verbalize it, but later on as we talked, Rochelle and I, and that was the question we had, where do we go from here? We had gone through quite a few things at that time. We have two kids. At that time, we have two kids living with us. I mean, prior to that, in January, we got legal guardianship of two kids who's living with us. And all these things that we're thinking through, there have been other couple things with jobs and with my parents, family. There were a lot of things that kept on kind of pounding on us, and we started to think, where do we go from here? What can we do? Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? So today I want to talk to you about where do you and I go from here. You know, 2008 is coming to a close. 3 more days and we will be going into 2009. I don't know about you. We have had many questions. I mean, all of us have experienced 3 things that I think all of us have experienced. Okay, we have a new president-elect who will soon be president. We have experienced economic downturn. Bad economy. And we have also experienced quite a few natural calamities. But other than that, your experiences might be different. I want to tell you that both of us, both Rochelle and I, felt like a failure when we had that question in our mind, can we have kids? I felt like a failure. I didn't know if the issues were with me. She didn't know if the issues were with her. We both felt like a failure. We both needed each other. We sat down and talked. And I told her that whether we have kids or not, I will still continue to love her. And she said the same thing to me. But we both felt like a failure. Even after that conversation, there were times when I felt like a failure. What about you? What have you gone through in 2008? What are you going through right now? What about your marriage, parenting, kids, family, friends? Do you find yourself asking the question, where do I go from here? Do you find yourself asking the question, where do we go from here? It has been a great year for Agape Community Church. We have grown. Not just in number, I'm not just talking about number, but we have grown in our experience with the Lord. But as a church, as a body, a local body of Christ, where do we go from here? We have had some failures as a church as well. We have had some successes as a church. But where do we go from here? You know, as a very new driver, I just recently completed my 5-month anniversary of having a driver's license. No clapping necessary. It's 5-month anniversary. But I just completed my 5-month anniversary of being a driver, a new driver, driving in the United States in Pennsylvania. But during this time, I have achieved many feats, and some of my friends might be able to tell you, you know, I have even played rock music while driving. So some of my friends, you know, if you want to know more details, you can contact them later on. But I have been able to go to Canada. I have driven in another country. But I have, being a new driver, I have learned one thing, a very important thing. And the important thing is this. We go where we drive. You and I go where we drive. Accidentally, I drove into a rock. That's how I played rock music. After much scrutiny, after much dissecting the event, I found that the problem was with me, not the car. It was the driver. I went where I was driving. It was in reverse. And so where would it go? It will go backward. And there was a rock. There was a ditch. So of course it will go on the rock in the ditch. But we go where we drive. You and I go where we drive. You wanted to go to Wendy's restaurant. But if you cross Wendy's entrance and you don't go in, you don't drive in to the entrance of Wendy's restaurant, where will you go? You will not go to Wendy's, you will go somewhere else. Maybe Arby's, I don't know, but if you wanted to go to Wendy's, you will drive to Wendy's. We go where we drive. So in 2009, that's something we all, and I'm trying to create a catchphrase here, so we all need to remember this, that we go where we drive. Okay? To apply this principle in our lives, the catchphrase is, we end up where we take ourselves. To apply this phrase, to create a catchphrase, we end up where we take ourselves. the question that you have, you and I have in our hearts and minds today as we enter into a new year, 2009, where do we go from here? Where am I going? What will I be doing? How about what will happen to my marriage? What will happen to my kids? What will happen to my career? What will happen to my walk with the Lord? What will happen to you know, I really want to know God. I really want to follow Him. What will happen? What will happen? I'm going to college. What will happen? I'm newly married. How's my marriage going to look? I'm working in my marriage. How's my marriage going to look in 2009? I'm raising my kids. I'm going to be a new dad, a new mom. What kind of parents will I be? Where are we going? Where do we go from here? Remember this, that we end up where we take ourselves. The choice lies within us. We can keep on asking the question, where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? I can keep on asking that question for the rest of this year and not end up where I want to go. Because your car will always take you where you are taking your car. We end up where we take ourselves. The choice lies within us. You see, God knows that we have a tendency of taking ourselves to the wrong places. God knows that we most of the time take the turns to the exits that really doesn't take us to 15 North. Or if you are in another state, 86 South or whatever it is. We have a tendency of taking the wrong exits, wrong turns. And that's why He gives us a call in Matthew chapter 11 verse 28 to 30. That's why He says, come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light. 2008 has been many things for many people. It has been burdensome. It has been really struggling. Maybe some of us have lost their jobs. Maybe some of us have lost their kids, family, friends. I don't know. A lot of things. But God knows. In the midst of our questioning, where do I go from here? He says, come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened. And I found in that verse, Rochelle and I found, that's one of my favorite verses. But you can know it in your head. Oftentimes we as Christians, we know a lot of Bible verses, but most of the time they remain in our head. The journey from head to our heart is the toughest part. I knew that verse. I knew that by heart. Memorized it. But in our situation, to apply that, it took some time. But God says, come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. In Jeremiah 29:11, another favorite verse of mine and Rochelle's, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Now, I want to give you the background, the context of this verse. This verse not necessarily mean that if you want to be a millionaire in 2009, God is saying, okay, I'm going to make you a millionaire. Okay, this, in the context of this verse, the Israelites were really bad people at the time. They had strayed from God. But God is saying, and they were in captivity, this is the prophecy about that they will be going in captivity, but God says, I am going to bring you back. I am not going to leave you in your despair. I am not going to leave you in your slavery. I am not going to leave you in your situation. But to be able to do that, to be able to experience the plans that I have for you, the plans of plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future, you need to do something. You need to, even in the midst of when you are thinking, I don't know where I'm going, I don't know where my marriage is going, I don't know where my kids are going, I don't know where my career is going, I don't know where my relationship with God is going, I don't know where I am going in regard to my place in the church, I don't know where I'm going to serve, I just simply don't know what is there for me. In the midst of all that questioning, in the midst of all of that, God is saying, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That is the context of that verse, is the Israelites did not know what was going to happen to them. The prophecy was foretold. But when they were in their captivity, they were in despair. They did not know what was going to happen to them tomorrow. But God is saying, I know what is going to happen to you tomorrow, but you need to come to me. You need to lean on me. You need to learn from me. You need to take my yoke and not the yoke of the world. The world keeps on telling us the economy is bad. The world keeps on telling us marriages are failing everywhere. You know, if you don't have fun in the first year of your marriage, you better go get a new wife or a new husband. If she doesn't listen to you, if she doesn't give you the Christmas gift that you want, then that means she really doesn't love you, so you better go get a new wife. The world keeps on telling us that things are, you know, it's everything is you. But God is saying, no, everything is not you. Everything is me. I am your God. Come to me and I will give you rest for your weary and burdened soul. God is calling us in the midst of all of these questionings. Where do we go from here? What do I do? He is calling us to Himself. All of us know this. To arrive somewhere, you need to start somewhere. Right? If you never started, you know, you wanted to come to church this morning. If you never started from your house, would you be able to come to church this morning? Would any one of you been here? To arrive somewhere, you need to start somewhere. Where are you going to start? Are you going to start? Are you going to remain? Are you going to... You and I, are we going to live in the failures or the issues or the problems that we have gone through in 2008? Or are we going to go to the future that God has for us? Are we going to go to where God calls us to go? God is calling you to start with Him in this coming year. So you can arrive where His plans lead you. You see, the choice is yours and mine. God has already spoken. He has already made it clear to us. He says, I have a plan and I know that plan. I have a plan for you. The plan is to prosper you and not to harm you. But what are you going to do? You know, Rochelle and I, going back to our story. Yes, we were in despair. We were questioning, we were wondering. But then, we started clinging on to the promises of God. We accepted. We said, if it is not your will, that's fine. But we would really love to have a baby. And I have no problem saying that our child, who's going to be born in June, is a miracle baby. I've always believed in miracle, but if I had forgotten what miracle is, our child has reminded me what a miracle is. Because when there were no, on October 10th, we had gone to the doctor to hear, sorry, you can't have kids. Instead, we heard, did you know you are 5 weeks pregnant? Now, like I said, that 2008 might not have been the story that you heard, Rochelle and my story for you. It might not have been a good surprise. Maybe everything that has happened in your life has kept on pounding you down and down and down and down. But that doesn't mean 2009 is going to be that way. Because you know what? God's Word says in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, He has a promise for us. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Do you know the context of this verse? The context of this verse is the same. Like in Jeremiah 29:11. The context of this verse, Israelites have been really bad. But the God is calling them to turn and come to Him. And He says, when you turn and come to Me, you will hear, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. We go where we drive. We end up where we take ourselves. Are you going to listen to the voice of God? And it's individualized, it's personalized. This letter, this particular verse is personalized. It's for you individually, for all of us. Individually, we will hear a voice. God talking to us through His Word, through His people. God talking to us saying, I will tell you where to go. This is the way, walk in it. One thing I've also learned as a new driver is that when you want to go someplace, you need to have a map. You need to know how you're going to go there. Hillary and her husband John came back to Pennsylvania from Texas. Now you guys drove, right? And I'm not going to ask how many wrong turns John took, okay? But you did have a plan how you're going to get home, right? You had maps. Last night I had to go somewhere in Elmira. I had a map. My wife had written down, take this street, take that street, take this road, and you will arrive where you wanted to go. You know, God has given us a map where He wants us to be. You have a question, where do we go from here? Where am I going? Where am I going from here? 2008, it has been such and such and such and such, but 2009, where am I going to be? Where do I go from here? God has given us a map. He has given us a GPS. It says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Now you might be wondering, you know, okay, how is that a map? How is that a GPS? When you put your trust, when you focus on God, I'm telling you, whatever 2009 brings for your and my life and for the church, it's going to be great. That doesn't mean we all are going to become millionaires, or all of the young people will get a Wii or a 52-inch television to play Wii. Now, if that happens, that's great. By the way, that's my vision too, you know, getting a 52-inch television and a Wii. You know, so I can play with my newborn baby, you know. Come in a bonding father, son, or daughter. We don't know the gender yet, but, you know, father, child, bonding time, playing Wii. But it's a map, it's a plan for where your life should go. It should always begin with God and end with God. Wherever you want to arrive, is God with you? Did you start with God? Are you going to start with God so you can arrive with God according to His plans? I'm trusting Him. I'm going to go with God. I might make mistakes again as a new driver. I might again play rock music, or who knows, I might be playing swamp music next time. I hope not. But in regard to your life and my life, our lives together, it's the body of Christ, individually people belonging to God. Let's start with God so we can arrive with God. Amen. Let's bow our head. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Even when the world says that we have had a very bad year, we know that each and every moment of our despair, our dark times, you have been with us and you are with us. And you have given us a call, Lord, a call to come to you. You have said that, come to me, all you weary and burdened, all those who are really struggling, come to me, and I will give you rest. You have said that the plans that you have for us are not to harm us, they are to prosper us, to give us a hope and a future. And you have also said, Lord, that whether we turn to right or left, there is a voice behind us we'll be able to hear, telling us, this is the way, walk in it. So Lord, we have been wondering, where do we go from here? Lord, your word is very clear in regard to that. It tells us that we begin with you, because we end up where we take ourselves. So Lord, we want to take ourselves to you, with you, in your word. So help us, Lord, I pray that each and every one of us here this morning, those of ourselves, we call ourselves Christians, Lord God, that we will dig deep more into your word. We'll invest more in our relationship with you. We'll invest more in building your kingdom, your community. We'll invest more in our marriages according to your word. We'll invest more in our parenting, the biblical principles of parenting. We'll invest more in our jobs that we do, the way you want us to work, the way you want us to perform. Every area of our lives will become one whole, serving the Lord and investing in our relationship with the Lord. But for those who are still looking for answers in their lives, and for those who haven't received you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray, Lord God, that this year will be a year of the Lord for their lives. I pray that, Lord, they will stop running stop searching. And they will receive you as the answer, because you are the answer. You are the answer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for coming to this world as a baby and dying as a man who knew all that we go through. Our temptations, our failures, our emotions. And because of that, Lord, we know that you care for us and you are there for us. I pray, Lord God, that we'll hold on to that truth and lead our lives in 2009. Not asking the question, where do we go from here? But knowing that you are taking us where you want us to go. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." That's the Gospel of John chapter 10 verse 10. In Revelation 3:20, he also says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." Have you discovered the joy and peace of personally accepting Jesus' invitation to eternal life? Perhaps you have believed in the existence of God and His Son and have tried to live a good life, but have never consciously invited Him to be your Savior and Lord. No matter who you are or what you have done, at this very moment, you too can make the decision of a lifetime. Right now, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. He offers you the same wonderful life which millions through the centuries have received with life-changing results. He has already paid the penalty for your sin. He is asking you, in the quiet of your heart, to put your trust in Him. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Would you like to accept Jesus' invitation to life? You can receive Jesus Christ right now by faith through prayer. God knows your heart and is not so concerned with your words as He is with the attitude of your heart. Millions of people all around the world have already found new life in Christ. Following is a suggested prayer. If you want, you can repeat after me or pray in your own words. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to know you personally. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and for rising from the dead. I open the door of my life and receive you as my Savior and Lord. I trust you now to forgive my sins and give me eternal life. Please make me the kind of person you want me to be. Congratulations! If you just prayed this prayer, you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We at Agape Community Church would like to send you a new believer's kit to help you grow in Christ. Please email us today at info@agapemansfield.org to receive your new believer's kit. It is important that you read the Bible daily and do what it says. Talk to God about everything. Trust Him in every detail of your life. Obey Him moment by moment and tell your friends about Jesus. We would love to have you visit our church. Also, feel free to contact us at Agape Community Church anytime if you have questions, prayer requests, or if you'd like to know more about our church. You can contact us at info@agapemansfield.org. We can't wait to hear from you.